You are listening to BensTorah.com.
One of the earliest childhood memories that I have is when I was probably around 4 years old. A lady down the street left a radio on, and I remember them offering me jellyfish. Really, I have like the flavor of the jellyfish in my mind. I remember them offering jellyfish if I only come to their house and do something to that radio. So given that that is very probably one of the earliest memories that I could conjure up in my mind, it might be a little bit disappointing if it would be something that was indeed a problem to have been done, because that might mean that my earliest childhood memory might have been an isser, an avera. So let's see if we could salvage that childhood memory. But what I want to talk about is a very practical shiloh, which comes up very often in a house that has little children, or a house that has little children next door that you could borrow. And that is, if you forget the light on, or if you get the light off, and it needs to be in the other way, could you ask a child, or have a child, or figure out a way to get a child to do what you want without violating any isser of the various issues that we will discuss now.
Like
this evening,
we had our stereo on the high volume because one of my grandchildren last year played that. Turned it on.
So could you have somebody turn it off?
Yeah, Barry Schwartz made a Shalom Talker that night. We got one of his guys to come.
So that's going to be the question. Could you ask a child to do the malacha, or not ask, or figure out, or engineer having a child to do malacha for you where you can't? So we're going to divide this evening into three sections. Children, we're talking about children, and we'll have to talk. There are different aspects of the question, and different aspects will have different ages. And we'll analyze each of the aspects with the appropriate ages as we go through the sugya. We're going to talk about three issues tonight. Number one is called Sifia Biadayim. The word Sifia might be a phrase you're not familiar with, but Sifia means handing over, giving, presenting, actively giving Isser to a child, to present Isser to a child. We'll talk about that. Then on the bottom, we'll talk about Shvisas Beno, which is a pasuk in the Aseres Tibros. And then finally, on page 3, we'll talk about the mitzvah of Chinuch. These are all halachos, psukim, except what we think might be the most, the greatest imperative, the mitzvah of Chinuch, that might be the least imperative, because there's no pasuk in Chumash that says directly Chinuch. Chanoch lana api da'kov gam ki yadkin lo yosur ven is a pasuk in the Ksuvim, I think Mishle. So let's start with a pasuk that appears not once, but not twice, but three different psukim throughout the Torah. And lo and behold, guess what? The first one we'll look is at this week's parasha, Achrei Mos. And you want to know the greatest thing? I didn't even set it up like this. Achrei Mos, the pasuk says, is an isser of dam. Kol nefesh mikem lo sochal dam, v'hagea gar b'sochem lo yochal dam. You can't drink dam. And that isser of not eating dam appears so many times in the Torah that Rashi, Chazal, are bothered by why is there this repetition. So therefore, Rashi quotes the Chazal, Lahazir gdol mal haktanim. The repetition of telling you not to eat dam can't be telling you that you, as an adult, can't eat dam, because that has been told to us already elsewhere in the Torah. Why is it saying this pasuk, which I already know, to teach us you have to make sure that your children don't eat dam? Okay, but that might just be dam. That could be a very local isser of not giving your children dam. Okay. Pasuk in Parashat Shemini. L'chol sheretz ha-sharetz al-haretz lo sochlum kishaketz heim. We'll see the Gemara is going to make a comment about that. Why don't you jump down to the bottom, the Gemara Nivamis, source number 5. The Gemara Nivamis, staff kuf yadal and amir aleph. Toshma lo sochlum kishaketz heim. It quotes this pasuk about shratzim. You can't eat shratzim. Darshan's the Gemara, instead of reading lo sochlum, you could read it as lo sa'achilum, don't feed them. Lahazir gdol mal haktanim. So the Gemara understands this pasuk of lo sochlum again, because it is written elsewhere. Why do you need another pasuk to tell you not to eat shratzim? So it must be that we should read it with a little bit of a twist as lo sa'achilum, says the Gemara. My lav damal hu lo tochlu. Does this mean that you have to tell them, guys, kids, don't eat Shratzim, no. Says the Gemara, that's not what the Pasuk's telling you. Rather, the Pasuk's merely telling you, maybe you don't have to tell them to stop eating if they pick it up on their own. What it's telling you is that you can't be sofe biadayim. That's the word that we were saying, lispus. You can't hand it to them. The Torah is telling you, you can't feed them shratzim. If they eat a sheretz on their own, if they pick up a sheretz on their own, you might not be obligated to stop them from eating a sheretz. However, the Torah is coming to tell you, you can't feed them a sheretz. Okay, maybe that's only shratzim and dam. But we have a third pasuk that continues the braisa. We did that one already. Tashma, let's look at the third dot on the Gemara Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Emor v'amarta. That's the famous first pasuk of Parashas Emor, which you have in source number 3. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. Emor l'akonim b'nei Aharon l'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav. I skipped two words. The Torah adds the words unnecessarily. V'amarta aleihem. It already said Emor l'akonim. What are you adding? V'amarta aleihem. So Rashi quotes the Gemara that you could see on the bottom, jump down again to source number 5, the third bullet point. Toshma Amor v'amarta. Why is the Torah repeat that phrase? V'amarta aleihem. Already said Amor. Lahasi gdol mal haktan. The repetition to teach us that you have to make sure that you don't. Well, that you don't. You have to be careful that your kids don't become tamei if you're a kohen. My love, that means you have to tell your kid, get out of the funeral home, get out of the cemetery. Is that what it's saying? You can't actively be metame them. By the way, this gives rise to a fascinating question, and that is, I just got this question a week ago. Not really. That's not really this question. A few weeks ago, I got a question from a pregnant woman. Could she go to a funeral? So what was the question that I asked her? Is your last name Mrs. Cohn? I mean, is your last name Cohn?
You know if your child is male or female.
That's the other question, right? Yeah. So if the baby would be a fetus and would be a male and would be a Kohen, it would be usur for her to actively feed that baby tumah, meaning bring him to a place where he'd be tameh. Even if he's an unborn fetus, it would be usur. Fascinating, fascinating halacha. A halacha that applies in utero.
This is the halacha on parents and their children or adults and...
Look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, Lahazir gdolim al haktanim. The Gemara could very well have said, Lahazir sa'av al haben. It didn't say that. The Gemara very consciously chose to say, Lahazir gdolim al haktanim. This iser of sefiyah, of handing iser over to a child, whether it's dam, whether it's shratzim, or whether it's to put them in a situation of being tamei, is all adults. And look at why you need these three psukim. Look at the last word of source number 5, utzrichi. The Gemara goes through the reasons why we need this point to be articulated three different places in the Chumash. The point is that we learn from these three Yisurim in the Chumash that all Yisurim in the Torah, you're not allowed to hand over Isser to a child. So that is the first Yisur. There's an Isser called Sifia, handing over, Biadayim, actively handing over, or actively putting a child into a compromised halachic situation. And that's going to be an Isser Mide Oraisa. Three Pesukim tell us this point. Three different psukim teach us that there's an issur d'oraisa, so you cannot feed any child, not your child, not somebody else's child, you cannot feed a katan, shratzim, dam, tuma, anything that's not kosher. In fact, how old does the child have to be for this issur to be in place?
Any.
Exactly. We just pointed out that this issur applies even in vitro. In utero, I mean. I'm sorry. In utero, not in utero. In utero. Even in utero, this is replies. If there's a one-day-old baby, and I want to feed him non-kosher formula, baby formula, that's an issur d'oraisa. Of course, if he's sick and you have to do for pikuach nefesh, that's a different story. But if there's no health, you know, overriding health sakana concern, you cannot feed any child food that's not kosher, even if he's 1 day old and even if he's not your child. So let's very quickly dash to Hilchos Shabbos. Can I give a child actively hand something mukta to a child? We didn't talk about the Rabbanans, that would be maybe next week. Can I actively give an iser for a child to do? Can I tell a child, I don't care which child and how old the child is, carry this outside where there's no Erev? Can I ask any child to do any malacha, turn on a light, turn off a light, you're not allowed to actively give any iser to a child, even if it's not your own child, even for a baby. Any questions about this? Pretty clear.
I once heard something about if he's under 9 years old, you can have him carry.
So the number nine, I don't know where that number came from, but we'll see. Things will become clear as we go. But that, as it seems now, that doesn't sound so good. Okay, this is the iser of Sophia Biadai. But I might have gone overboard in describing how usher it is, because let's learn a story together. And from this story, you're going to see that this isser, Sophia Biadaim, of handing isser to a child, actually has certain limitations to it. There's a beautiful story in source number 4. Jump up on the page. The same daf, actually, this one daf of Kufiyah Dalet Amud Aleph has a lot of material about our issue. The story is about Rav Yisro Bar Bisna, and he lost his keys. You thought only your wife loses her keys? Don't worry, if your wives were here for a shiur, I'd say you think all your husbands still lose their keys. But okay, since they're not here, I could say what I want about them, right? You think you're the only ones who lose your keys? No, the great Gedolei Amoraim lost their keys. Not only that, but they lost the keys of the Beis Medrash. Rav Yisro Bar Bisna irkzu lei maftechei debei midrasha. And guess where he lost them? He didn't lose them somewhere, you know, in the kitchen. He lost them in the Rishus HaRabim. That's pretty bad. He lost the keys to the shul somewhere in the Rishus HaRabim, Bishabata. So even if he finds them, he can't bring them to shul. So he's in trouble.
How did he lose it in the Rishus HaRabim in the first place? He carried it?
Maybe he lost them on Friday.
Oh, before Shabbos. Not on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he said he lost it on
Shabbos. Asa Davar, he came and got and commandeered Tali Vitalia, little boys and little girls. Vilitailu Hasam, and got them to play in that Rishus HaRabim. What was the goal of setting up a little kindergarten or nursery class in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim?
They find the keys.
Oh, of course. The Im Rishkecheluhu. If they find them, Maisiluhu will bring the keys over to.
On their own.
On their own, exactly. Look at Rashi. Davar Tali Vitalia. Hinheg, he brought them in to do something. Tinok is Zechar and Vinakevas, boys and girls. The title has Yiskusham Shabbos Aisan. They should play there and it was Shabbos. Now, let's think about this for a second. First of all, what do you see? You see that little boys and little girls are allowed to play together, right? So I heard a great line from the Satmar Rav when this point was pointed out to him, that you see that little tiny kids, you know, you could have a mixed co-ed nursery school, preschool. And the Satmar Rav said, no, the proof from this Gemara is exactly the opposite. His whole goal was to make sure that they would find the keys on the floor. So if they're boys and girls, the boys would look down. And that's where they'd find the keys. It's pretty impressive, no? If we all had the brains of the Satmar Rav, wow. Yeah. Very sharp and very good. That has to be the line of the week.
Not so simple.
Okay, so the Gemara brings this. So what do you see from this story? What you see from the story is something very important. That you know what the other Mefarshim say why there were boys and girls there? That it had to be boys and girls. Because if you put one person there, then it would sort of be evident that you want the kid to do something. They're putting a bunch there just to play. They have no idea why they're there. And therefore, they're doing it sort of on their own. You're not giving them to do anything. You're not asking them to do anything. Notice, he didn't say, please find my keys for me. Please bring me my keys. He said, guys, here, play here. I'm over there if you need anything. I'm by the door of the Beis Medrash. I'm right outside the Beis Medrash. If you need me, come get me.
Could you say I'm missing keys?
No, you probably can't say I'm missing keys, because that would be indicated, then you're indicating what you want them to do, and that's not going to be okay. So you see from this story that handing Isser, or giving Isser, or making a kid do an Isser is Usser, but setting up a situation where a kid might do Isser on their own, that we do not see a problem with, based on this story in this Gemara Yevamos, Kuf Yudalet Amud Aleph. Okay. Let's see one more very important Gemara relating to this issue of children doing malacha. Tashma, the next part of source number 4. Abraisa. No, I'm sorry, it's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Shabbos, but I'm quoting it not from the Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos, but rather as is quoted in this, in the context of this sugya that talks about chinuch, talks about having children do malacha. Let's say there's a fire chas v'shalom. Let me just preface. It's my duty as a rabbi, the Mishnah Berurah says, that I have to make sure that people know that if there's a fire in a place where there are neighbors close by, like in Far Rockaway and in Lawrence and in Cedarhurst and in Woodmere, you violate Shabbos. You call the fire department on Shabbos. You don't say, uh-oh, it's only, you know, there's two. We live too close together to play games. You call the fire department. If you have to put it out, you put it out. That's permitted on Shabbos. We're talking about a case where there were houses far apart from one another, and there were no wires around. In such a non-our neighborhood type of place, the Gemara says the following. If a guy comes to put out a fire, you don't tell him, oh, please put it out, nor do you tell him, oh, you can't put it out, don't do malacha for me. Why are you just allowed to permit them to do whatever they want to do? They have no, you don't have any obligations towards them. However, if a child comes to put out the flame, again, there's no such kind of safajus, it's only financial loss. Guess what? For financial losses, you're not allowed to have a kid do an iser. You have to tell that child, do not put that fire out. Why? Because there's an iser. We'll see the next topic in the pasuk in Aseret HaDibros. And so, source 6, we'll see you have a mitzvah of Shri Sasbino. Comments, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, Ba'ose al das aviv. When is there the iser Shri Sasbino, as we'll get into more? That's only if he does it with his father's knowledge or intent. However, a kid does it only, will do things because you want him to do it. He knows you want him to do it. A guy does things not because he wants to please you, because he's hoping you're going to give him a little bit of a gift after Yontif, after Shabbos. So therefore he's doing it for himself, so you don't have to stop him. But a child, he's anticipating, the child is doing it because he sees, oh, you probably want me to put it out, or he sees that the father is satisfied if his son puts it out, or is happy, or is, oh, good boy, you're putting out the fire. That's usser. That's usser. Therefore, you have to tell the child, do not put out the fire, again, if it's only a financial loss. So what is this? This brings us to Shvisas Beno, which is another pasuk. Says the pasuk in Seres Hadibros, in source number 6, V'yom HaShvi Shabbos HaShem HaKecha Lo Saseh Kol Malacha. Many of you might say this during Kiddush, Ata U, Bincha, Uvitecha, etc. So the Mechilta asks, Chor by Rashi, what do you mean? If Ata, who's Ata? Ata is you. Who's Bincha? Well, if it's a bar mitzvah boy, then that's you. So who's Bincha? Bincha must mean, says the Mechilta, Ata, Bincha, Uvitecha, El Haktanim, O El Hakdalim. Amris, Havalo Kfar Muzharmim. You're already included in you. So Matam Lomer Ata Vincha, it must be the Ktanim. That's what Rashi says, and Rashi al HaTorah Taka correlates this pasuk to be the source of the prohibition. Look at Rashi, source number 8. Lo ba'el lahazir gdol mashvisas haktanim. The pasuk of Ato Ubincha tells you have to be concerned to make sure your children keep Shabbos. V'zusha sheninu katan haba lachabos ein shaman lo v'pnei sheshvisaso alecha. But there's one, let me add one point, which we sort of saw before from the Gemara, but the Ramban says explicitly, the Ramban, on Aseres HaDibros, on this very pasuk, adds one very important parameter. Hisirano b'Shabbos, shelo yasu habanim ketanim melacha, l'da'atenu uvirtzoneinu. If it's to our, if they're doing it to please us, if they're doing it to because we want them to do it, if they're doing it because we ask them to do it, that's the us iser ashvisas bina. So if I see a child doing malacha by himself, is that an iser? No. Is there a mitzvah shvisas bina that you have to keep Shabbos, your kid has to keep Shabbos, make sure he doesn't play with that mukta toy? No, there's no such thing. But for me to say, hey, Yankel, why don't you go play with that mukta toy? Keep yourself busy, I want to take a nap. Why don't you play with my phone? And play games on my phone so I can take a nap. I'll tell that to my little kid. How old? There's no ages here. I can't give any av. Wait, let's just clarify what that means. There has to be a minimum age for Shvisas Beno, because if the Issur Shvisas Beno only applies if it's to the das that the kid knows that he's doing it to please his parents, how young does a child start understand that he's doing things to please his parents?
Three.
Probably two or three. That's what I assume. A one-year-old isn't doing something to please their parents. So that means a one-year-old, there's no Issur Shvisas Beno. That means now we have two things to consider. We saw before there's an Issur of Sfiya Biyadam, actively giving Issur to a child. That applies even to a baby, even in utero. So I can't actively give a mukta toy to a, even to a one-day-old. What about to a one-year-old? Ah, a one-year-old, I can't give him a toy, but could I let him play with a toy, a mukta toy? Well, Shvisas Beno, he's not doing it for me. I'm not handing it to him. He took it himself. He's not doing it for my pleasure, for my satisfaction, because he senses that I want him to do it, because it pleases me. He's doing it for himself. So I can let him play. So if I see my son, my one-year-old son...
Hold on.
If I see my one-year-old son taking a toy that's mukta, or playing with a phone, or playing the piano, a one-year-old, I know that's hard to climb up for a one-year-old, but they're, you know, reach up and they're playing the piano, you don't have to stop them. You didn't give it to them since last year. They're not doing it to please you, they're doing it for their own fun. That's no Shvisas Beno. You're saying, what happens if it's a five-year-old and he's doing it for himself?
Is there an age code on?
Yeah. You're right. If he's doing it for his own pleasure, maybe even a two or three-year-old. But once we get to five, we'll see there's going to be a third factor to set in. That's sort of, you know, on the next page, but we'll get there.
Shouldn't there be an Indian of chinuch, by the way? When is
that's going to be page three, and that we'll get to you. We're not up to chinuch yet.
Should be starting at any age.
No, that's
able,
not correct.
As able to pay attention.
That is correct, right.
That should have
been the most. That's correct. We'll see that. That's correct.
If you're going at the age of two, one.
Okay, we'll see that. Well, that's what we're going to see on the next page.
What about the fire? So you can't tell him to put the fire out.
You can't, not only can you not tell a kid to put a fire out, but your kid can't even put a fire out if he knows that you're going to be happy with him doing it. That would be considered, Shvisas Beno, that he's doing, if he's putting it out for himself, because his toys are getting burned?
No, because they go, it's fire, I was told to put it out, I'll just put it out.
That no, I was told, or I know my father wants me to, that's already Shvisas Beno. You have to stop.
He himself was told to put it out because he's just...
Why? Because he's doing, wants to protect his toys, or because he knows daddy will be happy? It makes a difference. If he's doing it to protect his toys, you don't have to stop him.
Because you would tell him, do not do it.
You only have to tell him, do not do it, if, as we're explaining now, it's because he's doing it originally to make you happy or to please you, or because he knows you're going to be happy. So if your four-year-olds, let's say, three-year-olds, will say, let's quickly put out the fire because Abba will be very angry if we don't, then you have to stop them. If they're doing it because they don't want their teddy bear to get burnt, then you don't have to stop them because it's not Shvisas Beno, because it's not the daito of the father. You're not giving it to the Zad Sfiya, and as we'll see soon, they're not up to the age of Chinuch either. One second.
In a densely populated area where you can call the fire department,
right?
Can a Jew put out the fire himself?
You should, 100%. You should put out the fire as quickly as you can. A densely populated area like where we live in Far Rockaway, Lawrence, Cedarhurst, and Woodmere, all densely populated areas, you should put out the fire yourself. Not to put yourself into sakana. If you can't, then call the fire department. Yes. Yes?
Now, I was saying from a safety issue, you should not let a 2 or 3 year old or even a 5 or 6 year old.
We're talking about purely from the halakhic. You know, if there are other concerns, safety or whatever, other things, we're not getting into that. We're talking about just from the halakhic aspect.
I know, but to allow a child to get involved with putting out a fire...
Yeah, it depends on the situation, depends on every circumstance will be analyzed in and of itself, but we're just talking about from a halakhic perspective. Every metzias has to be analyzed from the metzias. Okay, let's look. What's that? It depends, you have to ask the fire chief. Whatever the fire chief says. It's not a halakhic child, it depends what the... What is the concern? So let's look at Shad, see in source number 10. No, he didn't ask them to find the keys. He said, kids, play here.
Right, but when if they found the keys...
Then on their own, they went on, they would go on their... What?
if you say, oh, I have the keys for, no, I found these keys.
He doesn't have to say stop because they're not doing it because...
Well, they're going to be happy, he's going to be happy because they found them.
Not that he will be happy, but that they're doing it to make him happy.
Right, they're doing it to make him happy. So going out the fire to make the father happy.
Yeah.
They're giving the keys now because to make him happy.
But they're not doing it because they know that he wanted them to find the keys, or they're going to find
initially, that was the case. But now the keys are there, Rosh Hashanah, it's mostly to pick it up.
You're making a good point, that if they're going to be bringing the keys, because they know daddy's going to be happy, so it has to be like they don't know whose keys it are.
Right.
They just found keys. Look, we just found them at Sia. One of the Achronim says that. I don't know if it's this week or next week. Somebody points that out.
Don't you read that story again?
Yeah, look at the Mishnah Berurah in source number 16, please.
I don't even know from that story. It's
hold on one sec. Let's look at 16. Who makes your point, Jamie? So the Mishnah Berurah says in Shin Samach Beis, which is talking about the case of... finding things, that, you know, picking the kids, picking up stuff in the street, and bring it to you. Look at the Magen Avraham on the very bottom line of the in page 2. The Magen Avraham in Shin Samach Beis of Katan Tezvav, top of page 3. Tinoko Shiavu, you set up the kids that they should bring it to you. They pick it up on their own. The Miskavnin Lahanos Atzman. They're intending for their own benefit. They don't even know that their father lost his keys. It's not like, oh, daddy, we found your keys. Hooray, you're going to be so proud of us. Because of your point, as you said. Because once it goes into like, oh, we found your keys, you're going to be so proud of us, Tati. That already makes it usur because of Shvisas Bino, which sets in once it's the father is interested or makes him happy. So, in which, and once that would happen, as he concludes, the father would have to say, stop it, like putting out the fire. Hold on one second. The Mishnah Berurah clarifies these points in the Surah 16. Simon Shin Samach Beis, Sifkatim Em Dalid. Vahu She'en Hatinok Yodeh Shechevet Zeh Shel Aviv. It has to be that the kids who are finding the keys don't know that it's Taka, their fathers, who lost it. Ulanaz Asman, whom is Kavin Bava Sosa. They just think, daddy, look, I just found the key. I'm so lucky, daddy, I just found the key. I love keys. Aval.
And you shouldn't tell the kid anything at that point.
You can't tell the kid, well, I'm bringing here, you here to find the key, correct?
You don't tell him, leave it there?
You don't have to tell him, leave it there if they're bringing it to you further on their own volition, correct?
Avalim
Yodeya Shek. No, we'll get there.
He doesn't qualify.
Okay. If he knows that it's his father's key, then why is he doing it? Why is he bringing it to the father? Hariyo miskavin, presumably, for his father's benefit. In which case, then, mitzarech, not only the father has to stop the kid, but then, anyone. And certainly, you can't bring the kids there to say, you know, if they know that you dropped the key on the floor.
How do we know from that story that the fact that the keys are the base measures keys isn't a key factor?
You're asking an excellent question. You're saying maybe that Gemara was only true because it was a base measure, and that's why we have this leniency.
We know we have such a leniency elsewhere.
Right. The answer might be, I don't know if I haven't seen anyone raise this point explicitly. I'm sure it is raised because it's a good point. I would think that if the issue that we're dealing with here is indeed an issue d'oraisa, so the fact that it's the Tzorech Rabim, the Tzorech Mitzvah, that's a meaningless point. That, which something is the Tzorech Rabim, the Tzorech Mitzvah, might help you when something's also the Rabbanan. So we'll wiggle out of the Issa the Rabbanan if it's for Tzorech Rabim, for Tzorech Mitzvah, but if something's also the Raisa, it's Aser. The fact that you have a really good reason to do it, like Rabim or Mitzvah, it's not going to push away Issa the Raisa. So if we're talking about Shvisas Bino, which we are, Shvisas Bino is presumably Issa the Raisa, and that's what we're trying to be matir here, to allow the kids to play, would be matir Issa d'oraisa, so it sounds like it shouldn't change because of the...
Okay.
I'm not sure if that works, but...
Why can't he tell the children beforehand, play here in the event that you should find keys? Do not bring them to me.
Oh.
Just tell me. Just tell me where they are, but don't bring them to me.
But because then when they bring them to you, because they're little kids, but they will.
No, you tell them not to.
But then it didn't help you open the shul. That doesn't help you. You're engineering the situation so that they will get the shul open.
No, but just tell me where the keys are. Then he can go and tell a guy to go and bring the keys.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know if that makes it better. I think his solution was better. He didn't say anything, and this way they actually got the shul open directly.
For a while.
This is bunny. Does that apply to grandparents? Is grandparents just an ape bunny for bunny, or is it not?
It says
only a father.
It says
any other Mr. Bruce says,
Kol Adam. B'nei Bonim, Harim Kibonim.
I'm not.
It's a little B'nei Bonim, Harim Kibonim, no? Grandparents do.
I don't know the answer to your question. I'm not sure. Okay.
Wouldn't the case of the keys, wouldn't that be a minion of tzibur? You could be amir.
So that's what he said. That's what Mr. Bergman raised. But I think if you're dealing with an issur d'oraisa, that ain't going to help you. That inyan of tzibur, tzarech mitzvah, the shul, the community, is nice to be matir issur d'rabbanan at best. But something's also d'oraisa, like shvisas b'no, which is issur d'oraisa, all these kinds of, you know, important needs don't make things mutter if it's also d'oraisa.
Isn't
right?
It sold d'oraisa once they have the keys given to Rishus Rabbah?
Sorry?
Isn't it sold d'oraisa once they pick up the keys and I found these keys, here you go for the shul.
Well, they, I guess, walked over and brought it into the shul. They went into wherever the shul was, probably inside some kind of fenced-in area.
Yeah. The
right. Okay. There's one other source, primary source, the Gemara in Shabbos, Kufnun Gimel Amud Aleph, in source number 11. Gemara talks about another situation. The Mishnah says, if you're coming Friday afternoon, you're stuck at Rockaway Turnpike, as could very often be the case, and you have your wallet in your pocket on Friday afternoon. So, if you have a guy with you, no zinkis lo nachri. V'meini mo nachri, manicha l'chamar. You'll put it on the donkey will carry it home to the rest of the way into the city, and you won't carry it, because there's no area. The Gemara then talks about what happens is it better to do a guy, a chamor? What happens if there are other people other than a guy, a chamor? Like says the Gemara, chamor v'cher show to the kata. It's like one of these, like, you know, there was a rabbi, a priest, and a imam, you know, on a plane. One of those jokes, you know those jokes. That's what this Gemara sounds like. Chamor v'cher show to the kata. So you have you're walking, you're stuck in traffic on Rockaway Turnpike. Shabbos is coming. And you're walking, there's a chamor and a cheresh and a shot and a kata. A chamor manachle. But you put it on the chamor because he's not a human being, not to the cheresh or the shot or the kata. My taima, well, these three, cheresh, shot, and kata are people, and hi, the chamor is not a person. Asks the chamor, bailu, cheresh, the kata, and my. If you have a choice between giving it to the cheresh or the kata, the deaf mute or the child, what should you do? I don't know, the chamor says. Let's see. The cheresh yohev leh, maybe you should give it to the cheresh, because the cheresh is never going to become chayv and mitzvahs even when he gets older. Masha'enkin, the katan, atzil chaldas. At some point, the katan is going to is a person now who will become chayv and mitzvahs. Maybe right now you shouldn't give it to him. When I was going out, somebody once suggested a girl who was a little younger, like a lot younger than I, you know, the exact numbers. Let's say I was 24, they said that's like an 18-year-old girl to me. And I said, you know, I think she's a little young. And the Shadchan told me the truest statement I've ever heard in my life. I promise you that in 2 years, she'll be 2 years older. Right? So that's true by a katan. That's not true by a cheresh. That's exactly what the Gemara says. Oh, Dilma, the Gemara says on the other hand, maybe the katan you should specifically give it to the child. You know why? Because cheresh, asa lechluvi, begadu bikech. If you put on a cheresh, a 40-year-old deaf mute, you might think you could give it to any 40-year-old guy, which is certainly aser. So what does the Gemara conclude? What should you do? If you have to choose between a cheresh and a katan, ikadar me the cheresh yavle, ikadar me the katan yavle. Different people see different things. We don't really know what to do. So what do I do? Says the Shulchan Aruch, I don't have it here. You could do whatever you want. You could do whatever you want. No. Why is this important? Okay, I'm not sure why I brought this in right now. Okay, leave that, fine.
What about the English Jesus pamphlet? Where they say put it on the documents
back. Yeah. So without getting into the Sugyashis pamphlet, because I don't know the Sugya, I think it's dealt with. It's dealt with, I don't know the answer. It's dealt with, that's dealt with in that mission, but okay.
Fine.
Now what we're going to do is we're going to finish off this shir by introducing the third variable. And after we have the third variable, we're going to be able to put all the pieces of the puzzle together and figure out how to come halach l'maisa with the issue of asking a child to turn a light on or off. Says the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, source number 17, a line that we're familiar with, and the Gemara is going to make a comment. Aval kota shebal chabos ein shomel lo pnei shishvistas alayan. Well, actually, it's not really. We could have related it to the previous sugya. Yeah? We saw that the Mishnah said that you have to stop a katan shamas minah. So the Gemara says, does that mean that katan ochel nevela is based in mitzvah la'avlav for free show? If you have to stop a katan from putting out a fire, does that mean? There's a general question throughout Shas, dealt with many areas. It's a big machlokus in Shas. It's a machlokus Rishonim about if a katan is ochel nevelos, do you have to stop him if he's eating iser daraisas on himself? Does a non-father figure have to stop him? That's machlokas. It's based on mitzvah lahafrisho, based on non-mitzvah lahafrisho. So the Gemara says, oh, do I have a proof from the fact that you have to stop a katan from putting out a fire? Does that mean that if a katan's doing an issue, you have to stop him? The Gemara says, you don't have a proof. Maybe here it's also because he was doing it to make his father happy to put out the fire. So you really don't have a source. Okay, but that wasn't really chinuch. Let's look at the next source. We know that there's, of course, a pasuk in Mishlei, I believe. Chanocha l'nar al pi darko. You have to educate children so that when they get old, they will still know what to do and they'll still do the things properly. Says Tosfos in source number 18 on that Gemara that we just learned. Look at the second paragraph. The first paragraph is not important for our discussion. It's very important, but not for us right now. When do we try to say that? Oh, the issur of shvisas b'no, or getting or stopping him, or not stopping him. There's only discussion in terms of putting out the fire. It's only discussion for a kaddish lo yigil chinuch, because once the begil chinuch. Once a father has an obligation to be mechanech his son,
of course.
Interesting. You hear what Tosfos is saying? Yeah. Tosfos is saying that the mitzvah chinuch might sounds like it originates in mitzvos aseh. But if you're chayev to educate a mitzvah aseh, he has a svar because then Tosfos has a svar of a kol shekain. If you're chayev to yes teach him positive things, kavachom you should teach him to prevent him from doing Yisurim. Interesting svara. Maybe you could argue that svara. Okay, Tosfos says, this Yisod, that there's, once you have an age of chinuch, then you have to stop a kid, you have to teach him to do mitzvahs. What's the shir mitzvahs? What's the age of chinuch? The answer is, how old? How old is chinuch? Is it 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9?
Yes.
The answer is, it depends on every mitzvah, kol echad lefi mashahu. There are some mitzvahs. Every mitzvah is determined by how old the kid, how mature you have to be to do that mitzvah. For example, you all know Mishnah in Sukkah.
Right.
Mishnah in Sukkah talks about how old does a child have to be chayav in a Sukkah, such that when he wakes up, he doesn't say, mommy, mommy. Let's just pause. You know what that means? That means that if he's going to sleep in a Sukkah where his mommy's not there, and he's going to wake up, and he's not going to be able to wake up without his mommy there, that means he's not ready for the mitzvah of Sukkah. If he says daddy, daddy, daddy's in the sukkah, so he can do it. So,
presumably.
So, when it comes to tzitzis, he has to be old enough to know how to, I was going to say put on tzitzis, but to do atifa on with a talis, which is the real mitzvah of tzitzis, to do atifa. So, it's not like a 3-year-old has to put on tzitzis. 3-year-old can put on, well, maybe now as we don't do that here. When he's ready to do whatever mitzvah, could a 3-year-old shake a lulav? I mean, he could shake a lulav. Could he shake it properly? No. So he's not mechuyev it's very cute. We all like to get a picture of Chalamoid of that father bending down with his 3-year-old son, 2-year-old son, shaking the lulav. It looks really cute. You could hang it on the wall, but it's not a mitzvah chinuch. Because the mitzvah of chinuch doesn't start until a kid is old enough to shake luv on his own, which is not before, I'd say, 5 years old, probably. Mm-hmm. Maybe six. So they, you know, you just say, okay, shake, you know, in a circle. That's probably 5 or 6 year old. So before that, the 3 year old, shaking luv with a 3 year old is not a mitzvah of chinuch. It's not a mitzvah. It's cute, it's a photo op, but it's not a mitzvah. Right? Like saying hamalach to a, you know, you sing hamalach to the 4 month old baby. Right? That's not a mitzvah chinuch. It's cute. It's nice. It's a waste of breath. I mean, you have nothing wrong saying psukim from Bereishis, but there's no religion. There's no chinuch.
How about the story that the Rebbe was telling, you know, he goes above and he says, you know, what should I do? Should I start chinuch?
Nah, he doesn't mean mitzvah chinuch in an official form of the mitzvah chinuch. He's saying the concept of starting chinuch starts very early, but The legalistic sense of the word chinuch, that's only once a child knows how to do it. Oh, but let's say, that's what mitzvahs say. When does the mitzvah of chinuch start? From mitzvahs lo sasei? So here the poskim say something interesting. Here they say, the mitzvah of chinuch for lo sasei is once a child understands the concept of no. Meaning, if your kid, your 4-year-old, just ate fleishos, and now wants some ice. And the other one, the other kids takes that yogurt ice cream. He wants, I want the ice cream. I want the yogurt. And you say, no, you're fleishos. They say, please, please. No, but you're fleishos. But please. So obviously, they just don't get the idea of what no means. I mean, it's not that they know what the word no means, but they don't understand the concept of a no. No, if you say it's, you know, you can't touch that, it's muktzah. Please, meaning if they can't, it doesn't register that it's, that the fact that it's usur, therefore you can't do it. If that doesn't register, there's no mitzvah of chinuch even for negative commit. So how old is chinuch? For let's see, los essays. When does a kid understand that no is a no? Shabbos is no, Tekach is a no. Let's say 4.5, 5, something like that. Something like that. So now, let's start. Let's put all the things we learned tonight together. So you can't give a kid an iser. When does that start? Even in utero. You can never hand iser to a kid. You can't ever say, do this iser, eat this iser, do this my sister, here's a mukta toy. Never, ever. That's one halacha. There's another halacha. Right, here's a talis, bring it to shul without an erev. You can't say that. There was minhag like that. How, why, that's not for now. Hold on. That's because there might be by Nisa Drabbanan, maybe things will be different. If it's a Carmelis and carrying without an Erev is only Nisa Drabbanan, that's going to be maybe next week. How this applies by Yisurim Drabbanan. But now we're talking about Yisurim Daraisa. There's a second thing we learned tonight. The first thing was Tzviyat V'yadayim. The second thing we learned was Shvisas B'no. Shvisas B'no, he said, that you can't allow your child to do something if they know if they're doing it for you. If they're doing it for you because you're going to be happy, that's Shvisas B'no. That's the Torah Pasuk in Kiddush, that's the Pasuk in Aseret HaDibros. They can't do things if it's for you or they know it's going to make you happy.
They can do it, say no to them.
You have to stop them. You have to stop them. If they're doing it for you to make you happy, you have to stop them. Like putting out the fire or bringing keys to you because they know you're going to be happy, you have to stop them. And then thirdly, we just learned that chinuch, which starts, let's say, when a kid knows that he's not allowed to do something, then it's going to be usur at that age. So now, let's take all three isurim and find the leniency in each one of these three. Put those three leniencies together, and then we'll figure out how to do something on Shabbos, how to get my kid to be my Shabbos guy for me. Let's start backwards. The easiest one is, how do we get rid of the isur of the mitzvah? I don't want to get rid of the mitzvah chinuch. How do we get rid of the chinuch concern? Very easily. Just deal with a kid who is under the age of chinuch. Let's deal with a 3-year-old. Okay. Let's talk about the next point. The next point is I can't hand an isur to somebody directly. I can't say, please turn on the light, please turn off the light. I can't hand it to them. So I can't tell them to turn on the light, I can't point to the light, I can't wiggle the light. Okay, so let's look at the other thing. What's the other concern? What was the other concern that we had? Shvisas B'no. They can't be old enough, they can't do it for me. So what age does a child know, oh, Abba wants the light off or the light on? That already a 2.5, 3-year-old could understand. A 1-year-old doesn't know. A 1-year-old doesn't understand. They don't do things because it will make you happy. So if we put all these things together, what you can do is you can stand near a light switch and hold a one-year-old there. If you hold a 1-year-old there, don't tell him to do anything. He's going to, of course, grab the light switch and play with it because it's, you know, within our hands' reach and eyes' reach. Now, he's below chinuch, so we don't have the chinuch problem. You're not telling him to do it. You're not giving it to him. He's reaching for it himself. It's like he took the toy. It's not that you handed him the toy. He's reaching to the switch himself. And as far as Shri says, but no, he's not doing it for your, because you're going to be happy, because he's too immature. He's too young to do things for you, or he's just doing it because he likes waving his hand and experimenting and discovering the world around him. He's not doing it to please you. And therefore, that would be the heter, and that's the reason for the heter, to be able to have a light switch turned on or off, even if it would be an Issa D'Oraisa, because there's no chinuch because he's below chinuch. There's no sfiyah b'yadayim, you're not handing him an Issa because he's taking it himself. And there's no shrisas b'no because he's not doing it to please you because he's too young to realize that he's pleasing you. And that would be how you could turn the light on and off on Shabbos.
You should cheer him afterwards.
What?
Cheer.
Right, afterwards you shouldn't say hooray. Right. That's probably true. But we're talking, yeah, that's probably true.
But if you're bringing him close to me, if you carry him close to the switch, isn't it like you are causing him to
do it? That's a great question. So some say, some ask, maybe bring him close to the switch, I have to say the right words, is like Sophia Biodine. Maybe just like I can't hand him a toy, maybe I can't bring him to the toy.
Right.
Just like I can't hand the switch to him, I can't bring him to the switch. So the Poskim say, no, that's not correct. The Poskim say that it's not... That you there's no problem, you can't give him a toy, but to put him next to the toys that are muktzah and he plays with him. No, you're putting him near toys and he reaches out himself. That the Poskim say is okay.
But you know he's
if you'd like, you're welcome to read this Orchos Shabbos in the dark text. Says this point, put these 3 points together.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.